As we have reflected upon the person and the work of the Holy Spirit in these last few weeks, we've particularly been focusing on the teaching, the encouragement, the words of Jesus that we find in John 14, 15 and 16. And we're just moving on to what is a wonderful prayer by Jesus that we read in John 17. So I'm reading the first 26 verses of John 17. After Jesus said this, he looked towards heaven and prayed. Father, the hour has come. Glorify your Son, that your Son may glorify you. For you granted him authority over all people, that he might give eternal life to all those you have given him. Now this is eternal life, that they know you, the only true God, and Jesus Christ, whom you have sent. I have brought you glory on earth by finishing the work you gave me to do. And now, Father, glorify me in your presence with the glory I had with you before the world began. I have revealed you to those whom you gave me out of the world. They were yours. You gave them to me, and they have obeyed your word. Now they know everything you have given me comes from you. For I gave them the words you gave me, and they accepted them. They knew with certainty that I came from you, and they believed that you sent me. I pray for them. I'm not praying for the world, but for those you've given me, for they are yours. All I have is yours, and all you have is mine. And glory has come to me through them. I will remain in the world no longer, but they are still in the world, and I am coming to you. Holy Father, protect them by the power of your name, the name you gave me, so that they may be one as we are one. While I was with them, I protected them and kept them safe by that name you gave me. None has been lost except the one doomed to destruction so that scripture would be fulfilled. I am coming to you now, but I say these things while I'm still in the world so that they may have the full measure of my joy within them. I have given them your word, and the world has hated them, for they're not of the world any more than I am of the world. My prayer is not that you take them out of the world, but that you protect them from the evil one. They are not of the world, even as I am not of it. Sanctify them by the truth. Your word is truth. As you sent me into the world, I have sent them into the world. For them I sanctify myself, that they too may be truly sanctified. My prayer is not for them alone. I pray also for those who will believe in me through their message, that all of them may be one, Father, just as you are in me and I am in you. May they also be in us, so that the world may believe that you have sent me. I have given them the glory that you gave me, that they may be one as we are one, I in them and you in me, so that they may be brought to complete unity. Then the world will know that you sent me and have loved them even as you've loved me. Father, I want those you have given me to be with me where I am and to see my glory, the glory you have given me because you loved me before the creation of the world. Righteous Father, though the world does not know you, I know you, and they know that you have sent me. I have made you known to them, and will continue to make you known in order that the love you have for me may be in them and that I myself may be in them. Amen. So we come today to the Jesus prayer, prayer of Jesus. Just reflecting today on to be and to do. In chapters 40, John's Gospel, chapters 14, 15 and 16, Jesus speaks to his disciples to encourage them. Jesus says to them, I'm not going to be with you forever, but don't be afraid. Trust in God, trust also in me. There will be another, an advocate, a counselor, one who will come alongside you and be with you. The Holy Spirit will come and be with you forever. And Jesus speaks about all that the Holy Spirit will begin to do and be in them. And I want to reflect today on what it means for us to be those who are accompanied by the Holy Spirit. And I'm not going to complete today talking about that, but just to begin to reflect. And the first thing is that we, in terms of what we are to be in God, what does it mean to be filled with the Holy Spirit? What does it mean to have the Holy Spirit alongside us? But then, of course, it's not just about being, it is also about doing, to be and to do. So being and doing, or as I think I put on the service sheet, beers and doers. And yeah, there's a deliberate reference there, if you can see it. Okay, being beers and doers. And in this, we reflect upon the prayer of Jesus. The prayer that Jesus prays for his disciples and then prays for the world, those who will believe because of the disciples. So the focus is very much upon the disciples, those whom the Holy Spirit will come alongside, those whom the Holy Spirit will accompany. And I want to draw out just a few reflections from this prayer of Jesus about what it means to be. And then I'll touch on what it means to do. And these are the four reflections I'm going to draw out. First of all, knowing God as Father, it's the first being. Second is living in unity with one another. The third is experiencing joy. And the fourth is resting in love. And then, this was going to be a doing, but I've put it as a being slash doing. Doing the word of God. And deliberately being and doing, but doing the word of God. We might automatically think, okay, we're going to speak the word of God. But to say that we simply speak the word of God is limiting the communication of the word of God, because we allow the word of God to inhabit us, and all that we are and all that we do communicates the word of God. So it's not just doing or speaking the word of God, it is being and doing the word of God. So the first of these, in terms of being, the Holy Spirit accompanying us, who are we? What are we? What are we to be? And that is to know God as Father. And in our passage, in verse 3 of the prayer, Jesus says this: now this is eternal life. And I kind of think that's a big build-up. This is eternal life. That they know you, the only true God, and Jesus Christ, whom you have sent. That they may know you. That's what eternal life is. So as the Holy Spirit comes and accompanies the disciples, as they know the presence of the Holy Spirit with them, what is it that they know? They know that God is their Father. Jesus, But six times in this chapter, six times in this prayer, Jesus refers to God as Father. That is what it is to know God, that they may know you, the only true God, to know God as Father. When the disciples of Jesus approach Jesus and say to him, teach us to pray, Jesus is very clear: address God as Father. There is a new relationship that you have with God, and this is who we are. This is who we are simply to be, to know that God is our Father. But he goes on, Jesus goes on and says to them in verse 6, or says in his prayer, I have revealed you, or it can be stated as, I have made your name known to those whom you gave me out of your word, and out of the world. What does it mean to make the name of God known? That's a curious thing. Is it just his name, God? His name as Lord, or his name as Father? When the Bible speaks about the name of someone, of course, they're speaking about more than simply the title. They're talking about somebody's reputation. I've made Graham's name known. We'd be talking about his good character and who he is, and that would carry weight for us, and we'd be encouraged because we'd know his name. And so it is when Jesus speaks of revealing God, or making the name of God known to the disciples. Jesus is saying, I have made your character, I have made your reputation known to them. And what is that reputation? What is the character of God? It is love and mercy. And it may, I'll put three dots at the end because that's not limiting the character and reputation of God. That is only the beginning. To know God as Father, and to know this Father is love and is merciful. And we might say, well, what do I need to do? Simply know by the Holy Spirit that God is your Father, that towards you he is loving, and towards you he is merciful. And we rest in that reality and that truth. So knowing God as Father, that is who we are to be, to know God as Father. My own reflection is that is such a powerful place to be. Secondly, living in unity. Living in unity. In verse 11, in this passage. If I can find it. I will remain in the world no longer, but they are still in the world, and I am coming to you. Holy Father, protect them by the power of your name, the name you gave me, so that they may be one. As we are one. Isn't that interesting? Jesus says, protect them. Protect them that they may be one, as we are one. And then again in verse 22, Jesus repeats this prayer. I have given them the glory that you gave me, that they may be one as we are one. And then Jesus says it again in verse 23. I in them and you in me, so that they may be brought to complete unity. Complete unity. You might think, what does that mean? That we might be brought to complete unity. We might be completely one together as we fix our thoughts and our eyes upon the Lord Jesus. This is who we are to be. Completely one with our thoughts and our eyes fixed upon Jesus. Knowing God as Father, loving and merciful towards us. We experience unity. And for any of us who've been in church for any length of time, we all know that the challenge of what it means to be one, to be unified, when we are different and we come from different backgrounds and different perspectives, and we have different opinions so often. But this is the prayer of Jesus, that this is something we should be, is one. Knowing God as Father and knowing his name, his reputation as love and mercy. That's living in unity. And then experiencing joy. Jesus prays in verse 13. I am coming to you now, but I say these things while I'm still in the world, so that they may have the full measure of my joy within them. This is the prayer of Jesus, that we might have the full measure of the joy of Jesus. And my mind, of course, is taken to Hebrews 12, where it speaks of Jesus, who for the joy set before him endured the cross. Who for the joy? Jesus was looking forward to being one with God, his Father, after all that he would go through in suffering and crucifixion. And Jesus prays that we might experience that joy of knowing God as Father, of knowing what it is to be one together. And I've put up a couple of other verses here that are useful to turn up in chapter 15, verse 11. Chapter 15 and verse 11. I have told you this so that my joy may be in you and your joy might be complete. And Jesus has just been encouraging them, remain in the love of God by obeying the commands of God. And as you do that, you will know this deep joy. And then in chapter 16, verse 24. Until now, you've not asked for anything in my name. Ask and you will receive, and your joy will be complete. So this is part of who or what Jesus prays for us that we might be. It's not, in a sense, it's not very active, but in another way, it is full of action. To be, to know God as Father, to live in unity together, to experience the joy of Jesus. And then the fourth heading that I put up, to rest in love. In verse 26, that the love you have for me may be in them. In the full verse, I have made you known to them and will continue to make you known in order that the love you have for me may be in them and that I myself may be in them. And it's not always easy to rest in the love of God. But love stills us. Love, I believe, stills us when we know we are loved. I remember back to the days when I was young. Don't know how old I was, probably 18, 19, 20, something around about then. And I remember every year there was a Youth for Christ camp that was held. And this particular year, I remember we went out over near Ledbury, I think. It was the Youth for Christ Centre that we went to, and we all camped there, and we had a great time for the weekend. And the main speaker was a man by the name of Jeff Lucas. You might know the name Jeff Lucas. And he's a very engaging speaker. I remember, it was on the Saturday evening, he said, I want to speak to you this evening about knowing God as Father. And I suppose for many of us, we'd been taught since we were very young, God is your Father. Pray, our Father who art in heaven. We knew it. And yet Jeff, he just simply said, I'm going to talk this evening about God as your Father. And then he asked his son, he's just a young lad, a can't remember his name. Let's imagine it's Ben. Ben, come up. And Ben came, ran up the stairs onto the stage and just leapt into his dad's arms. And Jeff held him, and his son's head was on his shoulder. And then what he experienced, and I've talked to Jeff about this since, and he has no explanation for what happened. But Jeff wasn't able to speak anymore because the Holy Spirit moved in such great power when that happened that people fell to the floor. There were 800 people present, and a good number of people just fell to the floor, completely helpless, not able to stand up anymore. And people were being healed of illnesses and disabilities. Somebody stood up out of a wheelchair, and it was such an extraordinary move of the Holy Spirit. I had no understanding of what was happening, really, and Jeff, as I said, I've spoken to him, he has no explanation other than just a gracious move of God. And that is something of what it means to rest in the love of God, as his son came and Jeff held his son, simply to know, I am resting, I am loved by my Father. And there's a powerful move in that of the Holy Spirit. And I share that to encourage us that Jesus prays that the love that God has, God the Father has for his Son, may be in us. And may we know what it is to rest in that love. And as we simply are, as we be in the presence of God as our Father, and we rest in that love, the Holy Spirit touches us deeply to grant us an awareness of the forgiveness of our sins, cleansing us of all we have done wrong, encouraging us, and taking from us shame and giving us courage to live in a fresh way. And so this is who, reflecting on this prayer of Jesus, who we are to be as be-ers, being to be. It is to know God as our Father. It is to live in unity together. It is to experience the joy of God as Father and to rest in the love of God. And a final word I mentioned about being and doing the word of God. Because Jesus prays in verse 20, my prayer is not for them alone. I pray also for those who will believe in me through their message. The assumption is that those who follow Jesus will communicate to others that God is Father, that they too are loved and welcomed by God as their Father. But Jesus continues to pray and prays, sanctify them, he says, in your truth, your word, in the truth. Your word is truth. And this is a wonderful word, isn't it? It's a good word, sanctification. And sanctification is about being made holy, literally being set apart, being caused to be different. As we are filled with the Holy Spirit, as we know the presence of the Holy Spirit alongside us, we are made holy, we are set apart, and there begins to be for us a difference. Now, many Christians are different. Many people in the world are different from others. But many Christians are different. Sometimes, unfortunately, Christians are different for not great reasons. And so Jesus prays, sanctify them in the truth. Your word is truth. So the living, loving, merciful word of God, sanctify them, make them different in your word. That everything that they stand for, their set apartness, their difference, may be a reflection of the heart of God, a heart of love and mercy and kindness. And this sanctification I just put down here, it is about being baptized in Jesus. This may be literal baptism in water. But what does it mean literally to be baptized? It is to be immersed or absorbed or transformed by Jesus. To be completely surrounded and filled by the presence of Jesus. And that is what it is to be sanctified, to be holy, to be set apart, to be different. And we live this word. We do this word. Both we are this word, because it takes us over, but we also do this word. And in this way, we begin to communicate Jesus. Not simply the word of Jesus or a promise of Jesus, but we communicate Jesus, having been baptized, immersed in Jesus, and made holy in that. And so that's the beginning of the doing of the word of God. But the doing comes after the being, that others might believe also in God. And so let's pause there and pray God's blessing upon us. Father, you are loving towards us. Father, you are merciful towards us. You are kind and generous. Father, help us right now. Pour out your Holy Spirit, we pray. We are in need of you. We're in need of your Spirit, of your presence, to fill us, to surround us. Holy Spirit, come to us and remind us that God is our Father. We pray in his gracious and wonderful name. Amen.